So I was happy to see that the NFL is changing their mind on a particular issue, but I'm still very cynical of how it's going to end up. So the NFL wrote the Players Association offering to work in tandem to study the potential use of marijuana as pain management for players as opposed to pumping them full of painkillers, which we have seen, and how addictive that can be and how that could lead to really bad things, as opposed to many NFL players that believe that smoking marijuana or any sort of form of it helps them manage their pain a lot better, and it's not nearly as addictive or addictive at all, depending on who you speak with.
Right.
So, sure, this is good. This is the first sign. The reason why it's good is it's the first sign that the NFL is willing to take a deeper look at this. But do you really need to investigate this at this point with all the information that's already out there? Do you need to have your own study
right,
so you can delve deep with your own doctors that will be pushing your own agenda? I mean, that's the stuff with the NFL that really bothers me, is the fact that you've got always, whether it's their concussion stuff or it's this or it's studying into off-the-field issues with players, they send their own gaggle of people out there to look at stuff to eventually come up with the outcome that they want to come up with. And I never feel like it's some sort of right, independent deal. I think that they're going to go into this thinking, okay, this is what we eventually want to end up with. And I do think there's a real good chance that this is just a PR thing where they'll look into it and then come back and say, hey, look, we looked into this already, but we're still going to suspend players for testing positive for marijuana.
Right. They're trying to give themselves, provide themselves some cover. But I would agree with 100% or 50% of what you said, because they are going to join the already research being done by the NFLPA. And the NFLPA has come out and said there should be the rules and the punishment should be amended. And so the fact that the PA has already been going down this road, they've been doing their own research, and now the NFL is going to join them in their efforts to find more information out about marijuana being used as a pain reliever, that gives me hope that the NFL will not come out and do what they did with their concussion research many, many decades ago. Decades ago.
No,
we only saved the moons for our boy down in where the hell he was.
See, that actually scares me a little bit more, though, that they're joining, because it almost seems like, well, listen, the NFLPA is going to come back with a ruling on this. They're going to give us information that is going to benefit the players and not think about our side of things. So let's join it to balance it out a little bit to make sure that they don't try to embarrass us with this. Because that's probably what they're thinking, that the NFLPA will come back and say, this is how silly it is that the NFL is suspending players for marijuana because of this, 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 and this, and what a joke. So they're like, oh, let's soften the blow by sending our guys in there, too, to make sure that we can control the narrative a little bit. And I wouldn't normally be this cynical about something that when reading the details here, but because it's the NFL and their track record with things like this, they're only concerned about how they look.
Right.
That's it.
I hear you. Yeah, they want to protect the brand. They've always done a great job of protecting the shield. But the PA is the lead dog here. And so the PA
they
is going
to be.
They're going to still be the lead dog. And they're going to have the same information that the league's going to have. So if the PA comes out and says, well, our research shows this, this, and this, and the NFL comes out, which is now part of the same research team, they come out and say something totally different, you know, somebody's lying. And so now you've still, while you try to put a paint a pretty picture, if you're the NFL and say, well, see, we were right. It didn't. The studies show that it's not it doesn't provide an alternative to pain medication. The PA can shoot back and say, no, that's wrong. That's not what we were able to find and ascertain from our research. So now you have these two butting heads. And I've always said, why is the NFL in the business of meeting out punishment for recreational drugs. You're not a babysitter. I mean, if it affects the guy's performance, if they're committing crimes, and I guess they still look at it as a, as something criminal, even though you have all these states that have legalized marijuana from a medical standpoint, from a recreational standpoint, why are you still in this business? And it is way too punitive. That's why you have Jerry Jones out there. Of course, he may not be the perfect voice, considering all the players who have issues on his roster with it. But the NFL should not be in this business.
Yeah, and even though it's very, very easy to avoid getting suspended by the NFL for smoking weed, and the smart ones can make sure that they're never in that situation, there shouldn't be a situation at all. I mean, the NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball,
right.
No, they don't care about this stuff.
Exactly.
At all. And you're seeing guys like Martavis Bryant miss full seasons and sit in rehab next to people who are overdosing on heroin to talk about his weed addiction.
And someone actually died.
Yes.
And Martavis Bryant gave a very illuminating interview, if you haven't seen it, this was about a week ago, and he just talked about all the issues he was dealing with, why he resorted to numbing himself, medicating himself, if you will. I mean, the guy basically had to raise his brothers and sisters at a very young age. A lot was heaped upon his shoulders, not making excuses for him, but I'm just telling you what he's had to deal with. And so here's a man trying to overcome those situations, and he's using marijuana. Nothing harsher or more detrimental than that. And that's it. And so he's smoking, and he's not passing drug tests. He's not going out committing crimes, per se. That's all he's doing. And yet you want to suspend him for a whole year.
Yeah, and think about this. For something that is legal in several states now, if Martavis Bryant fails another test for smoking weed, he might be done in the NFL forever. I mean, it's just, this shouldn't be happening any longer.
And it's not because of performance. You were there. Was he missing practices? Was he, you know, not showing up to meetings? Was he not performing on the field? He was performing.
No, he definitely was. And I was only there for a little bit of time when he was there, but I never saw anything that was an issue other than this, the fact that he's missing games. And it is still stupid to miss games in the NFL for failing a drug test because, as we've said many, many times, there is one street drug test a year. So you have to make sure that you are clean for that test. After that test, you will not be tested again for the rest of the season. The second that you pee in that cup, after that, you could smoke as much weed as you wanted every single day if you chose to, and you would never get caught, at least by the NFL.
You know what? But I don't know what the protocol is now, but they did change the rules once I was transitioning out of the league, and there were random tests right after the last mini camp. So I do recall that because prior to that, it was always during mini camp. You knew what day they were coming. You are correct. And you'd go through it, and that was it. But they did start changing the rules later on.
Yeah, I think it's still the one, as far as I know, when guys were still playing, and I asked them, it was just the one right before training camp. And then that was it. So you really have to screw up to be able to put yourself in that situation.
Well, some people are screwed up. I mean, you listen to that Bryant story. You listen to other folks. They are screwed up internally, things they're dealing with, things they've had to witness and experience at a younger age, and now you've got a way to medicate yourself all the damn time with a pocket full of money. So can we get to the bottom of that? We've been having this, I and others, having conversation, you know, about how we are now addressing this opioid and heroin addiction that's overtaken our nation in a totally different manner in which we dealt with the crack epidemic. Crack epidemic, hey, let's build new prisons. Opioids, heroin addiction, let's get people some rehab. Get them in rehab. Get them some help. So it's an interesting conversation, and it's evolved over the years, and it's not all black and white.
There was a fan forum on CTE that involved some players and Roger Goodell. And it is funny to me that you have a fan forum on this because fans, I don't believe, care about CTE in players. I don't think they care about injuries in players. I don't think they have any sort of personal feelings towards players who are suffering. They might look and say, oh, that's sad that that happened. But generally, NFL fans are there to watch their team win, and whoever can help them win, that's great. And they move on from that. Now, if you want to tell me that the NFL is doing these fan forums because they want to make sure that younger kids are still enrolled in youth football, so down the road you still have as many good players to choose from as you do now. Okay, I can understand it, but generally fans, I don't really think about this as much. So Jamal Adams, who is just drafted in the first round, top 10 pick by the New York Jets, was talking about this issue sitting next to Roger Goodell at the CTE fan forum, and he just decided to unleash this quote.
I'm all about making the game safer, but as a defensive player, you know, yeah, I'm not a big fan of it, but I get it. But, you know, again, you know, I can speak for a lot of guys that play the game. You know, we live and breathe, and this is what we're so passionate about. Literally, if I had a perfect place to die, I would die on the field. I would be at peace. Literally, I would be at peace, and that's not a lie. Like, it's so much sacrifice that we go through as a team, and just connecting as one and winning ball games. It's nothing like playing the game of football. But again, I'm all about making the game safer. That's all I can say about it.
I'm all about making the game safer. Let me somehow back out of this.
I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like that it's becoming safer, but I'm all about it.
Yeah, right. I'm neck deep in this CTE quagmire now. Let me see if I can pull myself out of this.
If he'd couched it a different way and just basically prefaced it with, I'm speaking for me and no one else, and I understand what's going on, what's ongoing now with CTE and those who have succumbed to this very debilitating disease. And I know what has happened to those that have come before me. But me personally, I love the game so much. I have so much passion for the game. My father, of course, played it. And so, for me, this would be the perfect place for me to die. If he just kept it there, maybe there wouldn't be as much backlash. But you've seen those who've come out that have lost loved ones, who are representing those who have taken their own lives as a result of CTE. And you have current players who've been in the league a long time, like a Martellus Bennett, that have pushed back against those comments as well. So he was speaking about his passion. I understand what he was trying to say, but as I always say, if it's not said right, it's not heard right.
Maurice Claiborne also said the same thing. A lot of people don't believe me when I say this, also a Jets corner.
Also LSU Tiger.
That's right. Yeah, both those got a lot in common here. They all want to die, and they all went to LSU. This is my life. This is what I do. I give it all. I would die out there if I was concussed that bad where they say you can't go back out there or you potentially lose your life. I got to go play. End quote. It seems a little extreme to me. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to say that than to actually live that moment where you say you could go out there and die. You're going to go. I mean, when you're totally healthy, talking to Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News, it's easy to say that. When you're completely a mess from a hit and someone says you could either go out there and die or stay here, we'll see what decision you make at that point. And also, you know, when you say the perfect place to die is on the field, I don't think Jamal Adams thinks about truly how tragic that would be as a young man. If he's still playing football, he's going to be, chances are, 35 or younger, unless he plays past 35, 36. 35 or younger, he's going to die? Now, I don't know his family situation. That's not a perfect place to die. Yeah. I mean, it's hyperbole. It's big words because he loves the game. But let's really think about that for a minute. You understand your family, whoever, you know, his mother, father, uncle. I don't know if he's got a wife now or what. I don't know. But all the people in his life, how devastated they would be. Perfect place to die. It would be the worst possible place to die. You want to be able to live a long life. And maybe because he's so young, he doesn't quite grasp
That's it.
Whole thing.
That's it.
But seriously, you got to figure this out. I mean, take a step back and understand what you're saying.
Yeah, and that's the point Martellus Bennett was saying. You know, this young man hopefully can find a higher calling, if you will, and this football It's great. And you, as Aaron Taylor, my colleague over at CBS Sports, likes to say, you know, you're going to be a retired player longer than you're a current player. So there are going to be things hopefully you can enjoy after the game is over. Yes, it's hard transitioning from doing something you've done since you was a wee tot. But that's just part of the game. You have to figure that out. So it is useful exuberance here, and he will understand that moving forward that, yeah, hopefully you can have a lengthy, long career and you can stay relatively healthy, but after football, maybe you can find similar satisfaction. Will it always meet? Will you always be able to get the same satisfaction in something else as you did out of this game? No, that's never going to happen. But at least you can transition to something where you can find a different type of passion.
And for those who said, how stupid was it for him to say that next to Roger Goodell? Are you kidding me? Roger Goodell probably loved that.
Yes.
Do you think that Roger Goodell had a problem with that? No. Roger Goodell needs more Jamal Adams out there for his league to retain its current status in the sports world. If Jamal Adams said up there publicly, I'm scared to death of what's going to happen to me, and I'm considering only playing a couple of years in the NFL, making some money and leaving.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have started earlier with another sport. That's when Roger Goodell would have, he said, I might die right here.
Yeah.
So to say, and I've heard that take several times. It's, oh, how silly could you say it right in front of Roger Goodell? That's the worst thing he wants to hear. No, are you kidding me? That's like it's saying, hey, General, I want to go out there and I want to make sure that I die out there on the battlefield.
Right.
And the general going, no, that's not what we want. No, it's exactly what
that's
want.
Exactly what he wants to hear. Yeah, exactly. So he'll be part of the NFL team once he retires. Yes. Hey, we got a job for you already.
Here's a little Roger Goodell spin for you, if you're ready for that, from the same fan forum.
With all due respect, let's just try to stay with statistics. The average NFL player lives 5 years longer than you, on average. So their lifespan is actually longer and healthier.
Well, I mean, that you can, it's one of these things, go back to the marijuana thing. You can take numbers and spin them wherever way you want. That doesn't mean that there isn't a problem. That may be true, but there's also a problem with many players who might have had normal brains but then played the game and don't.
Right.
So that's the stuff that scares me about the NFL. Let's search and search and search and search and search and search and find one thing that makes everything okay.
Right. Something that fits our agenda and our talking points, and repeat that. So that is true. And the CTE, it's scary as hell. And, but everyone, just like any other thing, it just depends on what our anatomy is more predisposed to.
And it's also, and I don't know if there was a follow-up at this point, but we're not talking about NFL players dying early. Yes, there's been several high-profile suicides, but that's not the issue. It's the guys who are living with this that is the problem. The Tony Dorsetts that are living with this. The Jim McMahons who are living with this. That's the issue. Not so much of every NFL player is dying at a young age. So that's just a stat that really doesn't fit what we're even talking about right now.
True. And what you get into spin mode, and you've been talking about this conversation as long as the commissioner has, and the fact that he wasn't him per se, but those who sat in that chair, that commissioner chair prior to him, that held all that information close to the vest, didn't disclose it. So they're going to be defensive anytime they talk about it.
Coming up next, a Brian Jones buddy making news.
Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Craig Giannotti, Brian Jones, Geo and Jones on CBS Sports Radio. This is my new makes me happy immediately when I hear it song. It's got Pharrell in it. It's got Big Sean in it. Katy Perry, there's Pharrell.
Has who again now?
Pharrell.
Okay.
Big Sean. Katy Perry.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this video.
Carlos Delgado.
Joe Carter.
Joe Carter.
So this is your happy song?
Currently, yeah.
Let's see what's my happy song.
Everybody hates Despacito now. It's gotten to the point where it's been so overplayed.
All right, of course.
It always happens. It really is a shame that these great songs get crushed in such a short amount of time and everybody can't stand them. You know? Should spread it out a little bit. Don't play it on the radio so much.
Well, when it hits, people want to hear it all the time, and then when they hear it all the time, they're sick of it.
Yeah.
That's just how we are.
I don't like it.
Confused.
And the two
You're going to get sick of this one.
Probably at some point. Well, there's a couple of songs I like so much I don't get sick of, as long as I don't listen to them every day.
Okay.
There was one from two summers ago, Lean On, that was it Major Lazer? Mm. Was it a Major Lazer, Lean On?
Well, that was Major.
That one I'm not sick of. I still listen to it. I love it. But the two songs right now, I always play back-to-back when I'm feeling good, just get on the boat.
Jamming. You
know, that and then the French Montana.
Unforgettable. Are you digging it? Unforgettable. Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Mask Off, Kendrick Lamar remix. And, Love, Kendrick Lamar. I forget the lady that sings on it with him, but that's a damn good one.
I know you just played the Unforgettable, but just hit the beginning.
Yeah, just play it, man. Come on. We're going to get him happy.
I already am. I just heard the other one. But now I need to hear those steel drums. I will dispute that line, though, that a good time never hurt nobody.
Yeah, it can hurt. It hurt, yeah.
I will dispute that line.
Yeah, it hurt a little this weekend.
I feel like lives have been ruined over a good time.
Sometimes, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that actually I believe the direct opposite of that statement.
Yeah.
I could not disagree with that statement more.
Good time. If you're having too much of a good time, yeah, it can become a bad time.
Speaking of a...
Well.
What a perfectly timed drop that was.
Well...
Okay. Speaking of a good time, Bogus is having a barbecue this weekend.
Yeah.
How about that?
Damn. I didn't get the invite.
You're not going to be here. We discussed this last week.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even waste one on you.
Wow. Yep. He's not going
to
be here.
Oh, that's right. I was supposed to be at the domino table in the corner.
Exactly.
And basically, I was supposed to be like a lawn jockey or something, right?
Wow.
For your
not a lawn jockey.
That would have been one hell of a move if Bogus invited you to the house to be a lawn jockey. That certainly would be something that I think even the papers would pick up.
Yeah.
In this racially charged environment in which
we
live.
Can you roll cigars?
Yeah, that's you definitely look more Latin with your look in the glasses than you do black.
I'll man the margarita machine.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. That's fine. Reminds me of a story, and not a good story, but a friend passed, and I was one of...
Thanks for maybe sucking the air out of the room.
No, but you got
laughing about how you look like a distinguished Dominican and talking about your dead friend.
It gets better, and so I'm
the only
brother in the circle of friends, and so one of the Caucasian females in the circle of friends calls me up and asks me if I would be okay with parking cars at the wake.
Really?
True story.
Wow.
Bitch, if you don't get off my phone,
that's
park cars. Ask me to park cars. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. With a straight face.
How old were you?
This is, this was 2003, 2002, somewhere around there.
You already played in the NFL.
Yeah, all that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, with two parked cars at the wake. Or so and so.
That is unbelievable.
Welcome to my world.
We have to give Brian a new distinguished Latin name.
Because of the glasses?
Yeah, and the look today.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just the whole look with the pants and everything.
My Nantucket Reds.
I'm thinking Javier.
Javi?
No.
Javi?
Javi.
I like Javi.
I don't like that.
Like Bernardo.
Bernardo.
Well, maybe if it was a little sulfur voice saying it, not your deep voice. Bernardo.
Bernardo.
Diego.
Ah, I like Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah, Diego. Diego.
Hold on, let me.
Go Diego.
Martin.
Martin.
Santiago.
Esteban.
Esteban, yeah. Esteban.
Esteban.
All right. Esteban's a good one. What about a last name? Suarez?
Esteban.
Jones.
Jones.
Jones. Jones.
Esteban Jones.
Esteban Jones.
This is my Haitian friend.
No. I got it. Esteban Belaguer.
What?
Belaguer.
Belaguer?
Yeah.
What is that?
Belaguer. It's his Dominican last name. Belaguer. Yes.
Belaguer.
Yeah.
Esteban Belaguer.
Yes.
You should. Belaguer. You really should go a night on the town as that person.
Esteban.
Yeah, with the glasses. Thinks,
they think I'm Dominican.
Do
it's
they?
Best when I'm over there until I open my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, if I could speak just a little bit better Spanish, I would do that. Yeah. Esteban Belaguer.
Yeah, former Tigers slugger.
Yeah.
Esteban Belaguer.
That's for me.
You can definitely pull that off.
I'm going to do that. My new alter ego, Esteban Belaguer.
A very good year back in 1988.
Three steroids. I didn't need that stuff.
Beautiful.
Yes.
52 home runs.
Ah, yes. Look it up on the Google. Yes. Oh, not that Google. No, not that Google. The other one. The other Google.
El Google.
El Google.
If you'd like to see what Brian looks like, or Esteban looks like, you can go to Gio and Belaguer on Twitter. No, Gio and Jones on Twitter.
Gio y Esteban.
Oh, no, we already decided we were going to be Gio and Chocolato. Right?
That's right. Esteban Gusta Chocolato.
Almost Spanish.
Esteban Gusta Chocolato, Chica, and Wandule.
Wandule.
It's a dish in the DR. Just go with it.
I'm going with it.
And Asapa.
All right. Bogish has an update, and we have to talk about one of your friends who is in the news.
Already, man.
Getting crushed for something that he might not have done yet.
Thank you.
What's going on, Bogish?
Buenos dias, senores. Because
we're the New York Yankees.
GM Brian Cashman sent three prospects, including infielder Jorge Mateo, to the A's for starter Sonny Gray before yesterday afternoon's non-waiver trade deadline. As manager Joe Girardi knows,
he's really good.
Gray is under contract through 2019. He has pitched to a 1.37 ERA over his last six starts. He'll make his Yankee debut during their upcoming road trip, which begins Thursday in Cleveland. Last night, the Yanks dropped the Tigers in the Bronx 7-3 to remain a half game ahead of the Sox in the AL East. Boston beat Cleveland last night 6-2 after trading for Mets reliever Addison Reed. Houston got only Jays lefty Francisco Liriano. GM Jeff Lunau wanted
more. We had some that were close to and almost over the finish line, and at times I would have put him at 90% plus that we were going to get him done. But there's a lot of things, a lot of dynamics that happen with these deals, and for reasons I can't really talk about, they didn't happen.
The Astros outscored the Rays last night 14-7. Baltimore got by KC 2-1. The Mariners 6-4 winners in Texas. Robinson Cano a tie-breaking two-run single top nine. Those Rangers dealing Yu Darvish to the Dodgers for three prospects. And the Nats adding Twins reliever Brandon Kinsler, then got a 1-0 win in Miami. Gio Gonzalez a no-hitter through eight, then D. Gordon let off the ninth with a clean single to center.
Why are you looking over and laughing at me, man?
No, I'm thinking of other scenarios in which you would fit. And one is David Ortiz's entourage. You know, like someone who'd be hanging out with David Ortiz at a bar. You know, right behind him.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
You could be, what do they call them? Buscarones, the guys that find the prospects in the Dominican.
Buscandos. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Then rob them of their money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You said that earlier, yeah.
But I could see you in some kind of bar with a GM.
You gotta have like a hat, though. Yeah, like one of those, like
a skew.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, with a cigar. Yeah.
You want Jorge Mateo?
That's funny you mentioned that. We're gonna start an academy on the north side of the island.
Are you?
Yeah, wait, baseball academy.
You really gonna do that?
You're just gonna
Who is we?
Me and a former Major League Baseball player,
Esteban De La Guerra.
No.
That would be you if you spoke Spanish
or Spanglish.
What form? How does this just? How do you?
Because stuff just happens.
How do you just casually say that?
I'm not casually saying it. I'm
like
it's
our lives.
I've told you
different.
About that.
Like I
told you that a while ago.
No, you didn't. I don't remember that. Like, wow. I would casually say, hey, I'm watching Ozark on Netflix. Yeah, like, I'm starting a Dominican baseball academy with a former major leaguer just like that.
Yeah.
Who?
Not telling you.
Whose money is it? Is it his money?
It's both.
Is it more his than yours?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Why?
I'm nervous for you.
Why are you nervous?
I don't want you to be...
I was going to do this a few years back.
Bogus is asking that because he's trying to figure out how the hell you have all the capital to be doing all the stuff you're doing.
What
can we get out of you for our own projects? I need new siding on my house. Your thoughts? You can put your name on it somewhere if you want.
I just need money.
Dude, why can't you tell us who it is?
Because I don't want to.
Okay, why don't you want to?
Because I don't name drop.
Oh, right. But I'm just, we're asking.
Well, I actually, that's funny. I was at a baseball game in Santo Domingo. This is when I saw Bartolo Colon's fat ass pitching, and I was like, damn, Bartolo's still pitching? And he's been pitching in the majors ever since I saw him in that Winter League game. But I mentioned this to Moises Alou because I was in talks with another guy about building or starting a baseball academy on the North Coast, because all the Major League Baseball academies are down by Santo Domingo and San Pedro de Macorís. All of them are down there.
Yeah.
And nothing on the North Coast. And I mentioned it to Moises Alou, and Moises is like, well, I'm not coming all the way up to Puerto Plata. I'm like, well, okay. But, yeah, I've gone down this road before, and now I've entered in conversations with another guy. This happened probably this past spring. Yeah, he and I are discussing doing that.
You know, Amy Lawrence builds churches in Haiti. Maybe she could build your Dominican baseball academy.
No, that's all right. No, we don't need none of that. No.
Can you tell me in the break at least if
sure.
I'm
all right? No problem. It's not famous, dude. He played, but he's not.
So then why are you protecting him?
Because
what's
my business partner.
All right, fine.
Between us.
Between
Sammy Sosa?
No white Dominicans are involved in this venture.
You got more stuff over there?
I do, but I don't know how to move on from just, I'm going to start a baseball academy in the Dominican Republic.
We're in discussions. And like I said, I've gone down this road before. It didn't come to fruition. We went and looked at sites way back when. We had the trainer and all that who we were going to use. Matter of fact, I think he was in the Mets organization, the guy from way back when.
Fired now.
Run.
See, maybe that's why that one fell apart.
Yeah, of course.
That's why it fell apart right there. But yeah, good stuff happening, dog.
How to be a better man. On today's episode, we're going to build a baseball academy. Come on down. Let's hop on a private jet.
All you need is one former big league player friend.
One private jet.
Yeah, and one island.
$500,000.
That's it.
Yeah, all right. This is
damn.
Thanks for joining us. Better man.
Did y'all bug the room?
Did you ever want to save people from a disenfranchised country? Well, we've got an idea for you.
Coming up next on Better Man.
Oh, how about this?
Hey, Esteban has friends.
Yeah, okay. See. I'll tell you this. The NBA is going to make some history this preseason. For the first time ever, teams will host squads from Australia's Pro League. The Jazz will entertain the Sydney Kings. Melbourne United plays in Oklahoma City. And the Suns will host the Brisbane Bullets.
All right, I'm done. Thanks. We didn't get to Brian's friend, so we'll do that next. There's a story out there, a very close
friend. I got another friend?
Brian, no, it's the same friend. Oh. We just teased and didn't get to it, so it's not another friend. We just were messing around with your Dominican Academy for too long. We have to take a break, and we'll do that story next. That's to do with the NFL. Keep it right here.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is Gio and Jones across the country on CBS Sports Radio. Sign up to be an O Rewards member today and start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, easy, and free. It only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Coming up in 15 minutes, Bobby Valentine joins us, former manager of the Chibolate Marine in Japan. It's my favorite job that he had. He's going to talk some trade deadline.
See, I'm going to get Bobby to partner with us over in the DR, man, with this academy.
He'll probably love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask him.
Bobby's now a friend of the program.
Yes, he is.
He came into the studio to talk to us one day, and we're all about Bobby Valentine now.
Some good stories off the record.
That's right.
Yeah.
I do remember those stories. Mm-hmm. One particular pitcher. I think we need to stop right there.
Yeah, stop right there. Stop right there.
All right, so Brian Jones has a friend in Anthony Lynn, who is the head coach of the L.A. Chargers. He is also a friend of the show and has sat in the same chair as Bobby Valentine has. And reportedly, Alex Marvez of the Sporting News has been covering football for a long time, citing two sources. He reported that Lynn was, quote, insisting that Rivers, meaning Philip Rivers, and Antonio Gates participate in the team's first training camp session at the StubHub Center. And because they had to be there, that means that they would have missed or will miss the induction, the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony Saturday of former teammate LaDainian Tomlinson. Now, Anthony Lynn has come out and said, no, I'm not insisting on it.
Yeah.
I've talked to Philip Rivers. I've talked to Antonio Gates. I even talked to LaDainian Tomlinson, and we're going to make the best decision for everybody involved. So, from your standpoint, if you're Anthony Lynn, do you let these guys go to the ceremony, or do you hold them back because it's the first practice?
I think Anthony Lynn is going to allow them to make the decision. These are two vets. Anthony played in this league, and he understands the importance, the significance of making it to the Hall of Fame. And so these were teammates of Thomas, I think, Rivers for 7 years or six, and Gates for seven. And so I think he will leave it up to those vets, and he will allow them that leeway to decide you want to go or you don't want to go. You're right. It's the inaugural practice at the new StubHub Center, but there are going to be more practices there. And so if they feel the need, those two, to go, I'd let them go. I wouldn't stand in the way of that. No way in hell am I going to do that. That was a teammate they want to celebrate. They know how difficult it is to get in that hall. So let them make that decision on their own.
It would not be a good decision to keep them back against their will,
no,
that's for sure.
No,
because I think that's a great way to get off on the wrong foot.
I'm in agreement.
Because if you start messing with the respected veterans in that room, not that you want the inmates running the asylum, but if you start messing with the respected veterans in that room, then everybody's going to turn on you. So you're a new coach. It's a new place. You want to make sure that you use the instability of the organization as a adhesive for everybody in that locker room, and you don't want to create more uncertainty than there already is. So he's a smart guy. He'll figure it out, and I do think that this will end with the right decision made. Last year during Jim Rome's smack-off, one caller, and I'm not familiar with the callers. I know one, the guy one was Lef in Laguna, I believe, and I don't know if this is the person we're going to hear, if it's Lef or not, but I'm not familiar with the guy's name. So it's just callers who call up the Jim Rome show to do the smack-off. So last year, one guy used Rich Ackerman as the update anchor here at CBS Sports Radio. He's on Rome show all the time. Used Rich Ackerman in part of his smack-off. Like, Rich read an update making fun of another caller, right? So Ackerman, and that guy ended up winning because he incorporated Ackerman and the creativity, and Ackerman became Smackerman. He was part of the Rome cult, and I'm saying that in a nice way, you know?
Not the David Koresh way.
The clones, he was right. He's part of all of that. He could not stop talking about this. How happy he was that this guy included him, how much Rome loves him. So here's another issue I'm going to ask you. Is this karma that he was gloating about this? Because this year, that caller who Ack made fun of last year, well, he got his revenge.
Trent Dilfer threw exactly one dime in his entire NFL career, and it was by accident. Dilfer's dimes, that's like if you had a segment on your radio show called Rich Ackerman's Awesome Radio Highlights. That's right, Ackerman. You are entering a world of pain, my friend. Jim, how dare Rich Ackerman come on here last year and try to clown me? Rich, dude, you read 30 seconds of radio highlights twice an hour. You work 1 minute every hour on the radio, Rich. How much does that pay? Even if it pays $500 an hour, you're still only bringing home like $50 a week. Jim, seriously, how is Ackerman still employed? He's like that fat, ugly, redheaded guy Milton from the movie Office Space, where, you know, CBS meant to fire him 10 years ago, but through some glitch in the system, he keeps getting his $50 paycheck every week. I was told I would be able to read 30 seconds of sports highlights twice a day, or I'm going to set the building on fire. Yeah, Rich, hopefully someone at CBS is listening right now and goes ahead and fixes the glitch. I'm not sure, Jim. Maybe Ackerman's super wealthy. Maybe he's like a trust fund baby. Maybe Rich and his wife are like that couple on House Hunters you're always talking about that comes out of nowhere with that crazy budget. Yeah, my husband Rich reads 30 seconds of sports radio highlights twice an hour, and I steal all the recycling out of our neighbor's trash cans before the city trash trucks come by and pick it up. Our all-in budget is $4 million, and we would just love to have room for two swimming pools.
Wow!
Yep.
Damn!
Now, is that karma?
Damn, the act was all personal when he went after this dude?
Not like that, but he definitely used his voice and his update stuff and helped out another guy to take down that dude last year. I mean, it didn't go that far, I don't think, what Ack said, but...
Mm. Now,
do we know Rich Ackerman's reaction to this? Did he take it in stride? Does anybody know if he has resurfaced since
All right,
this
Chief?
Yeah.
You win this round?
Well, it didn't seem anywhere bitter in the newsroom.
Okay.
But we didn't really ask.
Because something like that would crush him forever. Like, he wouldn't. I remember there was a time I took a picture of his tight sweatpants and put it up on Twitter because he looked ridiculous. He didn't talk to me for 2 months.
I think it was 6 months.
Yeah, it probably was 6 months.
Hey, man,
yeah.
Why are you going to disparage House Hunters, man? That's one of my favorite shows, dude. Come on. This is a trip. Like, I budgeted $2 million. Damn. I'm like, you make $2 million.
You know what?
And yeah. Act does the Saturday football stuff. Act works a ton. Come right. on.
Yeah, what is ironic about all that is the guy's assuming Act has a wife.
Yeah. That's
like, he might have been on 3 dates in his whole life. Yeah.
Because that's all you got.
I mean, Regis Philbin put on a campaign on national television to get this man a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
Nope.
A full-on, week-long campaign on national television to an audience that is 95% women. And he still couldn't get a girlfriend out of that. Rich and his wife.
His what?
If that guy knew that.
Oh, he would have really eviscerated.
He should have done a little more research on Ackerman. He would have had a lot more ammo on him. I mean, there's so many different ways you can go.
I hope my boy took it in stride. Come on, Ack.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, yeah. He's, you know.
Yeah.
Ack's really someone who is just, let's water off a duck's back. Him.
Of course.
Doesn't matter, right? Mm. Yeah, you could say anything to him. You could move stuff on his desk. You could
shake his hand.
Right, all that stuff, no problem.
Bump elbows, yeah. That was damn good.
It was.
I mean, yeah, Ack, you still our boy. It's like Kyrie laughing at Steph Curry doing the mean mugging LeBron deal.
Coming up next, Bobby Valentine joins us to talk about that MLB trade deadline. It is Gio and Jones. Keep it right here, CBS Sports Radio.